Graham Kemlow has fond memories of Norfolk Island, with a rich history as a penal colony and the place where Pitcairn Islanders settled after the mutiny on the Bounty. And until our international borders open, this is one place you can go that's overseas, 1,600 kilometres off the mainland. It's duty-free and you pay no GST and you don't even need a passport. Graham spoke to the island's administrator, Eric Hutchinson.
I'm speaking with Eric Hutchinson, who is the administrator of Norfolk Island, a very historic island off to the east of Australia. It used to be a penal colony, and I was lucky enough to go there 45, almost 46 years ago. It was a honeymoon visit, actually, so now you know the whole story. But it's a great place. I'd certainly go back one day. Eric, you really do live in a bit of a paradise over there in the middle of the ocean.
Well, indeed, Graham. Look, it's a very remote part of a big country. As you indicated, 1,600 kilometres off the east coast of Australia, located closer to New Caledonia than it is to New Zealand, but very much part of a nation's history and very much a patchwork of history here that began 700 or 800 years ago when there was a Polynesian settlement here. And whilst the island was abandoned when Cook arrived here in 1774, Norfolk Island was established as a colony only weeks after Sydney in 1788. It was abandoned in 1814, for logistical reasons and others. And most of that first colonial settlement, those people ended up in Van Diemen's Land or Tasmania as it's known today. They came back here in 1825, and between 1825 and 1855, as you rightly said, it was a penal settlement, and a very brutal one at that. But then, of course, in 1856, saw the arrival of 194 people from Pitcairn Island in the eastern Pacific that were the descendants of William Bligh's mutiny on the Bounty and their Tahitian brides that arrived here on the 8th of June 1856. And so that's very much characterised the island. The look and feel of the island and the culture that is certainly different to many parts of mainland Australia and makes Norfolk Island a very unique part of a big country.
Yeah, it's actually, even if you're just a bit of a film fan and want to learn a little bit more about the Bounty mutiny, there's certainly plenty of rich history there. You've only got to look around, and as you say, the local people who are descendants from Pitcairn, they certainly look, they look like, they look like Pitcairners. They certainly have their own particular style too, and celebrations are held specifically for Bounty Day, and I think there's a couple of other things during the year. How long have you been on the island, Eric?
Yes, so I began my tenure here in April of 2017, Norfolk Island's been my home for the last 3.5 years. And look, I've grown to love the place. It's, my own family had connections here to that first colonial settlement. I had a great-great-great-great-great-grandfather arrived here in 1791. He was the first leader, but he arrived on Norfolk Island in 1791. He was a deputy commissary here, and I had two convict relations as well that arrived here in 1796 and ended up as free settlers in Van Diemen's Land in 1807 when they started.
Wow.
Abandoning the island. So it is an amazing place. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's a very peaceful place. And, I think it's actually perfectly suited to particularly small-scale conventions and executive retreats and the like. It's a place where I believe that, big ideas can be hatched that you might not be able to do in the hustle and bustle of some of our bigger cities around the country. I think it's a place where you can leave a lot of your preconceptions and preconceived notions at the airport, and you can leave your shoes there, for that matter, if you will, at the same time. And it can give birth, I think, to fresh ideas. And this is why I think the pace of life, the very beautiful climate, the great food, make it a perfect place for particularly executive retreats and the like. It's a very special place.
I guess part of the issue for people in business events is the connections, the air connections. Now, just forgetting COVID for a minute, what's your regular sort of connection arrangement to Norfolk? Who flies there and how often?
Yeah, so look, I guess prior to COVID, and you know, we've got to characterise it all in, you know, what the new normal might be, Graham. But
yeah.
But you know, prior to COVID, this time last year we would have this time had not COVID eventuated, we would have had three flights a week out of Sydney and three flights a week out of Brisbane. So six flights servicing the island, as well as most likely two services a week out of Auckland as well. So we were on track to significantly increase the 30,000 visitors that we'd seen up until the end of the financial year 2019.
Right.
We were well on target to have over 45,000 seats available. You know, the regional council's target was for 35,000 visitors a year. So we were very much on target. During COVID, we cut that back to one service a week out of Sydney and one service a week out of Brisbane, and they really were, they're underwritten services by the Commonwealth, and they were, you know, that really only was movement of essential personnel and locals going back and forth to the mainland because we'd locked down Norfolk Island. But as we've started to come out of it, we reopened to Queensland on the 10th of July. We've got two services a week out of Brisbane now, and on the 1st of October, we reopened up to the rest of Australia, save Victoria. And so anybody from around the country now can visit the Norfolk Island without having to quarantine either here or on their return from both New South Wales and Brisbane. And we've got a second Sydney service commencing on the 9th of November. So we'll have, as we go into Christmas, two services a week out of Sydney and two services a week out of Brisbane. And our objective would be, in a measured and considered way, to increase that up to three services a week out of both of those ports. So that
right.
gives travellers to the island, you know, options in terms of the length of stay. They can do, you know, 2 or 3 day stay, or they can do a 7 or 8 or 9 day stay based on the sort of different flight configuration. So we think that provides options for people looking at running conferences and conventions and the like.
Yeah, well, that's certainly a great idea. And I agree with you absolutely about the possibilities for a destination like Norfolk to just give people a new sense of priorities and open up the vision. It's certainly around every corner on that island. There's either some fantastic historic bridge or a building that was possibly built by the prisoners who were ensconced there. So it's got lots and lots of history, and of course it's got the Polynesian element to the culture. It's not a tropical sort of paradise for people who love the surf and all that, because it was a forbidding island to get off. So I think you've got one beach, haven't you?
We have. We've got, I mean, in fact, it's the diversity of Norfolk Island. It's only an 8 by 5 kilometre island. And as you rightly say, it's not in the tropics. It's actually technically it's temperate. But it grows such a variety of produce here. Being such a small island, the climate is very much influenced by a maritime climate. It's the same latitude as Byron Bay, so that gives you an idea. But it doesn't have the range of temperatures that you'd see on mainland Australia at that latitude. So, you know, wintertime you're sort of looking 17, 18 degrees or thereabouts, and then in summertime it doesn't get too hot. So you're looking sort of 25 to 27 degrees is the sort of temperature range that you'd see during the summertime. It does get a little bit humid after Christmas. January, February and parts of March can be a little bit humid. Fantastic fishing, you know, quite extraordinary fishing. I mean, I'd rather refer to it as catching rather than fishing. It is some of the most plentiful waters, I suspect, in the world. Amazing scuba diving here. The visibility is very special. There's a great golf course here, beautiful national park. There's many things that can keep people entertained. And so there's a lot of opportunity, I think, for wellness tourism and other things. There's big yoga culture here, and you know, there's coral. Some of the world's southernmost coral is here on Norfolk Island, and literally 20 metres off one of the most beautiful beaches in Australia, Emily Bay. It's a fantastic place.
It's fantastic. Now, did you get on the sort of cruise ship circuit, or so do you have other options for people who may want to visit apart from flying?
Norfolk Island, middle of last year, the Commonwealth funded actually 3 passenger transport vessels for a burgeoning and increased visitation of cruise ships to this part of the world. And look, they worked particularly well. And, you know, we had quite a big scheduled through 2019 and 2020 was planned to be a pretty big year for cruise ships, but for obvious reasons, that hasn't come to pass. My personal view is that the sort of cruise ships that you know are best suited to visit Norfolk Island is that sort of expeditionary class, you know, 600, 700, 800, maybe 1,000 people, rather than those really large ones, the logistics of those, and, you know, a small island and the capacity to move those people around is probably presents certainly some challenges. So I guess it's that sort of perhaps medium-sized, smaller-sized sort of cruise ship that is probably best suited to Norfolk Island. You know, the World Heritage area here on Norfolk Island, many people don't realise that the Kingston part of the island, which is where I am now, is part of the 11 convict World Heritage sites around Australia. A fantastic example of colonial Georgian architecture and that period of the island's history where it was, as I say, a brutal prison, but very spectacular. And
when I visited Norfolk many decades ago, one of the features of it from a visitation point of view was that it was a duty-free port. You could buy, you could buy alcohol cheaper, and you could buy various imported goods, cashmere jumpers, and I think I bought a watch, actually. Is that still the case?
It is still the case. There's no duty that applies here on Norfolk Island, and similarly, no GST. People can still go overseas, but not leave Australia.
Eric Hutchinson there, speaking to Graham Kemlow this week from Australia's Norfolk Island.
This is the Travel Writer Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.